Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
Israel pummels Gaza looking for a missing Israeli soldier. And in the Ukraine, a break in the fighting. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington. The Israeli military has besieged the southern Gaza city of Rafah as their soldiers look for an officer they believe was captured in an ambush by Hamas fighters. Palestinian officials say 34 people were killed in strikes in and around Rafah today, one day after scores of other people died there. Meantime, the armed wing of Hamas says it does not know the whereabouts of a soldier that Israel is accusing it of abducting, but speculated that he was likely killed in an Israeli strike. Egypt's president, meantime, continues to press for diplomatic efforts in Cairo today. A break in fighting around the crash site of a Malaysian airliner more than 2 weeks ago. That came down more than 2 weeks ago in eastern Ukraine has allowed a team of international experts in to search for human remains in the area for a second straight day. About 70 Dutch and Australian investigators are back at the site today as the ceasefire continues. President Barack Obama spoke by phone with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, with Mr. Obama saying the U.S. remains deeply concerned about his country's increased support for Ukraine separatists. Speaking to reporters, Mr. Obama said he discussed his preference for a diplomatic solution, but he said there are limits to what the U.S. can do.
Right now, what we've done is impose sufficient costs on Russia that, objectively speaking, they should... President Putin should want to resolve this diplomatically, get these sanctions lifted, get their economy growing again, and have good relations with Ukraine. But sometimes people don't always act rationally, and they don't always act based on their medium or long-term interests. That can't deter us, though. We've just got to stay at it.
The White House says the two leaders agreed to keep their channels of communication open. Tunisia's state news agency says the country has closed its main border crossing with Libya after hundreds of Egyptians and Libyans tried to break through the passage while fleeing violence around Benghazi and Tripoli. Security officials say Egyptians who did not have visas into Tunisia broke through part of a fence when authorities would not let them pass. Police fired gunshots and tear gas into the air to stop the mob. Meantime, in Cairo, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi told journalists that Egypt would like a rapid conclusion to violence in the region. Edward Uranian reports for VOA from Cairo.
At a joint news conference in Cairo, visiting Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi voiced support for a quick conclusion to the hostilities between Israel and the Hamas militant group. Mr. Sisi also discussed the deteriorating security situation in neighboring Libya and called on the international community to help restore order. He says that as violence intensifies, the international community and Europe especially have moral, humanitarian, and security responsibilities. He added that there should be an international strategy to confront the spread of terrorism in the region. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Also today, Libya's newly elected parliament held its first meeting in the eastern city of Tobruk as the fighting continued in Benghazi and the Libyan capital. The director of the World Health Organization and leaders of three West African countries infected with Ebola are launching an emergency plan to combat the disease. The plan is part of an intensified international, regional, and national campaign to bring the disease and the devastating outbreak under control. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization calls the scale of the ongoing Ebola outbreak unprecedented. But WHO spokesman Gregory Hartle tells VOA the outbreak is probably worse than the figures indicate.
There could well be cases in the community that we've missed, because this has been one of the biggest challenges, you know, in terms of also tracing contacts. People run away. They don't want to be treated in health centers. They're afraid.
Hartle says key elements of the emergency plan are to stop transmission of the Ebola virus and to prevent the spread of the disease to neighboring at-risk countries by strengthening and scaling up all control and response measures. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And I'm Marty Johnson, VOA News in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We're coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. I'm Odette Frazier.
Unprecedented gathering of African leaders. The importance of this for America needs to be understood. Africa is one of the fastest growing continents in the world.
President Obama says economically, Africa is one of the fastest growing continents.
In the central area of the three countries, which is where the three borders meet and is near several of the centers of transmission, they will create a special zone to reinforce with special emphasis the response and control in those areas.
The World Health Organization and West African leaders jointly launched a $100 million Ebola response plan.
There have been a number of, I would think, more repressive laws or more serious threats against media freedom and freedom of expression that we have experienced in the last few years.
And media advocates meet in the Zimbabwean capital, Harare, to discuss media reforms. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama is welcoming nearly 50 African leaders to Washington on Monday in a gathering he describes as unprecedented. President Obama told reporters Friday that the United States must be more engaged with Africa and said the summit provides an opportunity to address economic and security issues on the continent. The outbreak of the Ebola virus in West Africa will also likely come up in the talks. Mr. Obama said African leaders from at-risk countries will be screened for the disease before entering the United States.
This has been a more aggressive Ebola outbreak than we've seen in the past. But keep in mind that it is still affecting parts of three countries. And we've got some 50 countries represented at this summit. We are doing two things. With respect to the summit itself, we're taking the appropriate precautions. Folks who are coming from these countries that have even a marginal risk or an infinitesimal risk of having been exposed in some fashion, we're making sure we're doing screening on that end of, as they leave the country. We'll do additional screening when we're here. We feel confident that the procedures that we've put in place are appropriate.
The leaders of Sierra Leone and Liberia canceled their summit trips to Washington, D.C. to address the deadly Ebola outbreaks in their countries. President Obama noted Friday that Africa is economically one of the fastest growing continents and said it is also one of the continents where the United States is most popular.
It is going to be an unprecedented gathering of African leaders. The importance of this for America needs to be understood. Africa is one of the fastest growing continents in the world. You've got 6 of the 10 fastest growing economies in Africa. You have all sorts of other countries like China and Brazil and India deeply interested in working with Africa, not to extract natural resources alone, which traditionally has been the relationship between Africa and the rest of the world, but now because Africa is growing and you've got thriving markets and you've got entrepreneurs and extraordinary talent among the people there. And Africa also happens to be one of the continents where America is most popular. And people feel a real affinity for our way of life.
Among the economic issues likely to be discussed at the summit is the possible extension of the U.S. African Growth and Opportunity Act, which expires next year. Meanwhile, a Brookings Institution Fellow in the Global Economy and Development Program's Africa Growth Initiative, Whitney Schneidman, describes how American trade and investment could be increased in the continent. He spoke with VOA's William Eagle.
The top two trades, certainly business in Africa. On Tuesday, August 5th, President Obama with Commerce Secretary Pritzker will host a CEO summit, 100 CEOs and African leaders, and they will at least announce, nearly $1 billion worth of deals. So that's one trade investment issue. The other is the extension of the African Growth and Opportunity Act. That will clearly be an important topic of conversation.
In recent years, U.S. trade with Africa has actually declined, despite AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. But African trade with the EU and China has grown. Why in recent years has U.S. trade with Africa declined?
Global trade ebbs and flows, number one. And number two, I think when you look at the broad sweep of the last 14 years of the African Growth and Opportunity Act, Africa's exports to the U.S. has grown about 300%. Now, our exports to Africa continue to grow. They're up about up to $24 billion. So I think that one has to be specific about what we're talking about and look at different sectors. Certainly, Africa's apparel exports to the U.S. Decreased after 2008 when the multi-fiber agreement that sort of kept China a bit out of the market expired. So, you know, there's increasing competition there. But, you know, AGOA is a non-reciprocal preference program. And I think the challenge for the U.S. and Africa as we consider AGOA's reauthorization is how to make it benefit U.S. companies more directly so we can ensure that there's a steady increase of trade and investment.
Are there any ideas on that?
I advocate a 15-year renewal period so that there'll be a set of rules in place that are stable and predictable for a relatively long period of time. I think that's very important. So that's number one. Number two, when AGOA was created, we created something called a regional trade hubs to help African companies export to the U.S. I think we need to reinvent those regional trade hubs and rebrand them as regional trade and investment hubs so that they not only help African companies export, but they help American companies capture market share on the continent.
Well, you've said that the U.S. must use the summit to promote new, improved, and meaningful strategies for trade and commercial engagement.
One idea is for Congress to put a tax incentive in place that would make it easier for U.S. companies to invest in Africa. I think a second one, as I've mentioned, is the trade hubs and making them more user-friendly for U.S. companies. But in those trade hubs, they need to pull together. We need a whole-of-government approach so that you have our ambassadors and our embassies working sort of in lockstep with our commerce officials and our agricultural officials and officials from EXIM, TDA, and OPEC. So we really can present one face and a one-stop shop, as it were, to U.S. companies on how the U.S. government can help U.S. companies be successful in Africa.
Were you the writer who also suggested some web-based format?
You know, that's certainly part of it. I mean, one of the recommendations I've made is that each country, each AGOA country, develop a national strategy, and that that strategy be the result of a dialogue with their local private sector and chambers of commerce and civil society, and that those strategies are placed on websites, like Ministry of Trade website, Chambers of Commerce website, USTR website, so people know what priorities governments have when it comes to AGOA.
That was Whitney Schneidman of the Brookings Institution. He spoke with VOA's William Eagle here in Washington, D.C. The Director General of the World Health Organization and the Presidents of Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone met in Conakry, Guinea on Friday, where a $100 million Ebola response plan was launched. I reached Gregory Huttle, WHO's Chief of Public Information in Geneva, Switzerland, and asked him about the outcome of the Manu River Union meeting.
The meeting between the three presidents of the Manu Union and Dr. Chan on Friday lasted for over 4 hours. So obviously they went into a great deal of depth on a number of topics and really have agreed on a series of quite thorough steps in order to step up by orders of magnitude even the response to the Ebola outbreak in the three countries.
Now, what were some of these steps that were outlined?
They are going to do certain things like unify response in a number of areas in terms of sharing lists of contacts so that they can trace contacts across borders in the central area of the three countries, which is where the three borders meet and is near several of the centers of transmission. They will create a special zone to reinforce with special emphasis the response and control in those areas. And they also are going to create special teams to go into other areas of the country to trace contacts and speak with communities to make sure that they are reaching all potential contacts. So there's a whole series of measures which are now going to be implemented.
From my understanding, a joint $100 million response plan was launched. How will this translate into action?
So this is a joint response plan between the three countries and WHO, and it will hopefully result in very quickly in literally almost hundreds of extra people, specialists, coming into the three countries in order to help fight the Ebola outbreak. And those kind of specialists are going to be clinical care specialists, doctors, nurses, and others who have experience in this type of work. It's going to be lab specialists. It's going to be epidemiologists who trace these chains of infection in order to make sure that we have everyone. Logisticians, communication specialists to go talk with the local communities.
Ebola is spreading too fast, according to the WHO. What do you think should be done at this juncture to contain the spread of the virus?
Exactly what's happened over these last few days. I think we've seen a watershed now with the states of emergency or special response declared in both in two of the three countries and then the meeting of the three presidents with the director general, the launch of our $100 million appeal. You'll see that there's a huge amount of action taking place by all the organizations concerned, and I think we should be seeing a real difference within days, if not soon after. I mean, already, for example, we know of a number of different laboratories that are being shipped in, mobile labs to increase our ability to diagnose cases. That's just one example, but a lot will happen in the near future.
Gregory Hattle is the Chief of Public Information at the World Health Organization. He spoke with me from Geneva, Switzerland. In another engagement, World Health officials say traditional burial practices are among the obstacles that are making it difficult to control the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Health and relief workers are trying to educate families on how to bury their loved ones without exposing themselves to the virus. VOA's Pam Duckins has the story.
The World Health Organization's Tariq Yasharovic says people who touch the dead could be putting themselves at risk.
At the moment when a person dies from Ebola, this is when person is the most infectious and where the viral load is the highest.
He says in many cultures, families wash the bodies of their loved ones before burial. He explains why this is dangerous for those who may have died from Ebola.
Usually there is the point just before the death, there is a bleeding. There may be diarrhea, there may be the rest of vomit. So just by washing the body, you will get into contact with the body fluids that are around the body.
Yasharovic has been in Guinea and Sierra Leone, where officials are trying to get villagers to alert health officials about possible Ebola deaths. Peter Schleicher, a Red Cross operations manager in Liberia, says he has encountered another problem. Some people do not want health officials to bury Ebola victims in their communities because of fear.
We just got a report back from one of our teams in the field that they have now been blocked by the angry community, and they have been denied access. So we have told them to return back because they are not supposed to put themselves at risk.
He says relief workers have been trying to alleviate fears and inform communities that there are safe ways to bury Ebola victims. He says families should contact local health officials who will send out trained specialists.
The body will be disinfected and will be put into one body bag and disinfected again, and this body bag will be put into the outer body bag. So actually, one body will be using two body bags.
He says relief workers are sensitive to burial traditions, but they've been trying to persuade communities to heed their advice and allow trained specialists to handle the bodies of Ebola victims. Pam Dawkins, VOA News, Washington.
In other news, media advocates have been meeting in Harare ahead of this month's regional summit to discuss why Southern Africa lags behind other regions in allowing journalists to work without government harassment. As Sebastian Mofa reports for VOA, experts warn that reforms on paper are not translating into real media freedom.
In Southern Africa, media freedom is a rare commodity, especially in Swaziland and Zimbabwe. Zoe Titus is director of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, a regional organization that seeks to foster free, independent, and diverse media. She says the region is going backward in terms of legal rights.
In the last 3 years, the number of access to information laws enacted in Africa have increased from 5 to 14, but none of those pieces of legislation have been enacted in Southern Africa. On the opposite part, there have been a number of, I would think, more repressive laws or more serious threats against media freedom and freedom of expression that we have experienced in the last few years.
Indexes of international freedom routinely rank Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Swaziland in the bottom quarter of nations. Titus points to Zimbabwe, where it is an offense for a journalist to quote an official about cabinet meetings and where reporters must be licensed by the government. She knows the monarch of Swaziland is known to actively prosecute journalists and criminalizes freedom of expression, citing the recent case against human rights lawyer Tulani Maseko and reporter Beki Makubu. The two were sentenced to 2 years in jail for writing an article critical of the government. A Swazi court determined the article amounted to, quote, interfering with the administration of justice. Of the 15 members of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, the majority of governments are ostensible democracies. Media advocates argue that one of the pillars of democracy is a free press, and MISA is calling on leaders who attend the SADC summit to commit to ensuring that journalists enjoy freedom of expression.
I would demand that they deliver the promises that they've made and they act on the positions that they have been afforded. I mean, the issue of media freedom, the right to media freedom and freedom of expression is not a right bestowed on me or you. As a citizen, we are entitled to that right. We're entitled to claim that right. And they, our heads of state, are inadequate in their positions and inadequate on delivering what they are supposed to provide to us.
Even countries with vibrant media landscapes, activists note a worrying trend towards replacing restrictions of journalists. For example, in South Africa, the new chief of state broadcaster is seeking for journalists to be licensed and is pushing for reporters to do more good news and positive stories on the government. The Committee to Protect Journalists has called this a step backwards. While activists are pushing for better legal protections of media freedoms in Southern Africa, some experts say laws may not be enough. Love Momaduku, a professor of constitutional law at University of Zimbabwe, knows the country enacted a more liberal constitution last year, but abuse continues unabated.
The first struggle is to get things into the constitution. It's a matter of a struggle. Once they're in the constitution, there's a second struggle to make sure that those rights in the constitution are respected.
He advocates that citizens must be more involved in demanding their rights. Media groups will join civic organizations to do just that. They hope to run an alternative or People's SADC Summit to air their grievances and influence their leaders. But that will only take place if Zimbabwean authorities approve the application to hold the Alternative Media Summit. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Five years ago, Rwanda's government decided to change the main language of instruction in its schools from French to English. Since then, Rwandan pupils and teachers have been on a crash course to master the world's most widely spoken language. They've been helped by a United States government program that offers intensive language coaching to high school students from disadvantaged backgrounds. Nick Long reports for VOA from the Rwandan capital, Kigali.
You wouldn't normally find dancers at a graduation ceremony in Rwanda, but this is a special class. Handing out the students' certificates is the U.S. Embassy's Deputy Public Affairs Officer, Benjamin Rudy.
I'd like to extend my sincere congratulations to our students today who combined not just their regular classes, but they took the time on the weekend to come in for extra time to practice English and successfully complete our program today. I think they deserve another round of applause for that. Good job.
The English Access Program, which these students have completed, is one of a number of English language programs that the US government supports worldwide. Since it started in 2004, 95,000 students in 85 countries have taken part in Access. Rudy says U.S. embassies are closely involved.
We interview all prospective students. We always strive to achieve at least a 50-50 gender balance. We also ask questions about their economic background because the Access program is primarily for students of secondary school age with kind of a disadvantaged background.
19-year-old Robert Musinguzi tells the OA he got a lot out of the program.
We have developed more skills through different trips, summers. We have really learned a lot from this. Our teachers were giving us a lot of advices. The sociability with the students, it was so great.
Interactive teaching, as practiced in Access classes, can be difficult for many Rwandan teachers. 5 years ago, when the government decided that as a member of the East African community, Rwanda's future lay with the English-speaking world, school teachers in all subjects had just a month to prepare for switching languages. They had some serious preparation to do, says Jean-Baptiste Habimana, one of the Access teachers.
Many teachers were coming from Congo, DRC, so using French. Few were coming from Uganda. And those native here were not putting a lot of efforts in English because they thought it is useless in a country where French is used. So there were few teachers competent in English who were native here in Rwanda.
Since then, the government has recruited teachers extensively from Uganda and Kenya. Many of Rwanda's new university graduates have gone into teaching, and Habimana says English language competency is no longer such a critical problem for the staff in Rwanda's secondary schools. But in primary schools, he says, it's a different story.
In the primary, where they need to get a foundation, majority are still those who went to school in French system. So what do? They write on the blackboard notes, which some of the terms they cannot even pronounce. Then they will keep notes, which they can't explain.
Rwanda's private schools have more leeway on whether to teach in French or English, and Habimana suggests that using both languages can be helpful in the transition stage. But educationalist Enoch Nkurunziza of the Rwandan Youth Association AJPRODO disagrees.
The government should be consistent, either to maintain English or French. French is like coming back. The policy allows even some schools to teach in French. But I think we need to have it fully English or fully French.
Whatever policy is adopted, everyone agrees Rwanda's education system can still benefit from outside assistance as provided by the Access classes and other teaching and mentoring programs. Nick Long for VOA News, Kigali.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll have some of the continent's best and brightest as we look at President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. Plus, we'll preview the U.S. African Leaders Summit to be held in Washington on the first week of August. That's next time on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC right here on The Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America, and you're listening to Nightline Africa. And still to come in the second half of the program, the Saturday Music Spot from our collection of music from the continent. Then we'll have commentary by Dr. Suleiman Yang, Professor of African Studies and Comparative Politics at Howard University. It's now time for our Saturday Music Spot, so sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Let's go. She says she likes it when I stay. She says she don't want me to go. She says I always make her day. Girl, would you be my love for now? She says she really likes my style. Seems like she wants to take it slow. Do anything to make her smile. Girl, would you be my love for now? What am I to do? Tired of running around chasing you. I can never think of replacing you. Cause now you are defined, baby, make up your mind. Hey, would you be my lover? All love for four. This guy is feeling it in my soul. So would you be my love for now? I'm doing things I've never done. I'm giving all I have to give. I'm feeling like I found the one. Say you'll be my love for please. What am I to say? Tired of running around, no delay. Make you don't go look who Jay face. All this time you didn't waste, you gon' make me crazy. Would you be my love for? Catch it cruise. Wanna know if you go do. I got one question for you. Are you gonna let me be the one? Are you gonna let me be the one? Are you gonna let me be the one? Baby, oh.
Just I dey give many things enough to go around. Even your girl go follow come around. Star boy queasy, the girl them man. Yeah, call all the sexy girls, come out one by one. Tall, short, fat or skinny, come out one by one. Yeah, Mr. Loverman, Mr. giving you all you desire. No man test the boy, Mr. giving you all you require. Them say them bad, but I swear them do nothing, no way. Them say them go throw me punch, but I swear them no reach, oh way. 20 man shall fall that day if you cross my lane, oh way. All your man shall fall that day if you cross my lane. No, you're back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, baby, oh, yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh, yeah, baby, oh, yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh, yeah, baby, oh, yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh, yeah, baby, oh, yeah, yod. Attention, stand. Don't wanna see nobody, darling. Stand up, get Joe. My guy no for me. Malik Berry point this and I'm killing the beat. Fiki Fiki DJ put on repeat. In my world every day you say them real bad girls them fall away. All of my guys get girls for free. When we turn up the girls undress for we. Rose, NSC and the sex for free. The sexiest girl come dance for me now. All of my guys get girls for free. When we turn up the girls undress for we. Rose, NSC and the sex for free. The sexiest girl come dance for me now. The mat, open and close. Touch your toes, baby, oh yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod. Back to the mat, open and close. Touch your toes, oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod. If you know you're feeling this spiritual, let me hear you say yeah, yeah.
Kaije kolindu, kolindu. Kaije kolindu, kolindu. Kaije kolindu kolindu, make a time to enjoy yourself. Kaije kolindu kolindu, kaije kolindu kolindu, kaije kolindu kolindu, make a time to flex your money. Party dey rock, open boys dey blow. Party dey rock, yeah, all the girls dey blow fire. Party dey rock,
Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock for my village. Everybody will rock, no yawa. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock for my area. Everybody will rock, no yawa. Nigeria music, don't they go? Obodo Ibo. Africa music, don't they go? All over the world. You call us for high life, yeah. You call us for hip hop, yeah. You call us for rock, yeah. You call us for R&B, yeah. And they dance up for Sokoto, yeah. And they dance up for Toronto, yeah. It is scatter everywhere, yeah. For your dance with your baby, yeah. Celebration time, make we jolly. Umunempuhani, no genre. This one now is Olingo style, yeah. Mr. Whisboy, Abia Kuala Nosa. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Make a time to enjoy yourself. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Make a time to flex your money. Party the rock. Fire, fire, fire. Boys, they blow. Fire, fire.
Let's go.
Love is a beautiful feeling, my brother. Hey. Love is a beautiful feeling, my sister. Hey. In the turning in the sugar, in the sweet like blood in a butter. For your career, baby, they come my party. Aqua Wizolingo.
Sonita, Ekaite. Steady to my groove is going down. Yo, Anqua, no delay.
Okunala, baby, to the dance.
Party there.
Walking down the street, eh? Baby, you don't do me bad when you take me out to it, eh? Be like, say you don't juju me. Be like, say you don't call me. Be like, say you don't juju me. Be like, say you don't call me. Your sexy body, baby, driving me so crazy. I'm in love with your everything. Your sexy body driving me so crazy. I'm in love with your everything. So, mamacita, come closer, baby, make we dance to this beat. Mamacita, come closer, make we dance to this beat. Sexy mama, you are wounding my mind, yeah. Wounding my mind, yeah. Sexy mama, you don't take me out away. Sile, 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 out away. Don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, baby girl. You don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, catch you, hey.
Oh, I'm on the panel, I'll be the hunter. That's how you the hunger. I'll be you one turn with the pizza. Boy, you follow me for Twitter. Man, I make you treat me like that, bro. Hold me like play, though. Make you no treat me like that, though. Cause I know I'm crazy, though. I dig a little, who's a little, who's a little. You can't look what I got, you can't put a I dig a little, who's a little, who's a little. Cause if I jam you, you can put a little.
Girl, you don't kill me. Yeah,
but I'll take you like that.
Girl, you don't wound me.
You treat me like that.
Sexy mama, you are wounding my mind, yeah. Wounding my mind, yeah. Sexy mama, you don't take me out away. Tile, 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 out away. Don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, baby girl. You don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, yeah. Sexy mama, you are wounding my mind, yeah. Wounding my mind, yeah. Sexy mama, you don't take me out away. Tile, 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 out away. Don't catch you me, catch you me. Got you, baby girl, you don't got you me. Got you me, got you, yeah.
She's moving like a time bomb. She wanna explode. She a move like a time bomb. Ready for explode. She dey move like a time bomb. She wanna explode. She move like a time bomb. Ready for explode. Time bomb.
bam. Hey.
You want explosion.
Yeah. Yo, man to man, don't come around. I want pretty ladies all around me. That sexy girl with a bad physique. I've never seen a girl like you. 10 to 1, that's the countdown. She's about to explode and can't stop fusion. My girl, she's bad, she's number one. I've never seen a girl like you.
That girl, I tell you she be time bomb. Boom, don't stop, boogie, baby, wine on. Hey, your body, they define her. This guy and boogie, no be minor.
No,
no, this body be designer. Some girl fine, but you find her.
See?
Continue to wine up. Cause me never seen a girl like you.
Now let go, wine.
Time bomb.
My body fire.
Time bomb.
She my desire.
Time bomb.
She make me lose control.
Explosion.
She sexy by sexy Nina.
Time bomb.
She came with a friend called Sabrina.
Time bomb.
Don't stop, sister Nina.
Time bomb.
Baby, go low. I just wanna love you. Share with me your problems. Girl, you are the type of girl a bad man need. I just wanna love you. Share with me your problems. Girl, you are the type of girl a bad man feel. Lean on me. My girl, you are the only one for me. You're the only thing I see. Lean on me. Oh, you are the only one for me. You're the only thing I see. Yeah.
Bumper overload. Type of bumper with black road. Just the sight of bumper make me feel so good. My soul food. Me so much, but you know what I best. Gas, gas, I make serious, I know they joke. You make man confused, I know if you go. The machine about me to a means to my body. Hey, no between us.
No.
I go direct, make she see, say I mean I'm some romantic arena. I wanna take her to a place where the passion is
green. Let her wine.
Time bomb.
My body fire.
Time bomb.
She my desire.
Time bomb.
Make me lose control. Bring sexy back, sexy Nina.
Time bomb.
She came with a friend called Sabrina.
Time bomb.
Don't stop, sister Nina.
Time bomb.
Baby, go low.
Explosion.
Now I got wine.
Time bomb.
My body fire.
Time bomb.
She my desire.
Time bomb.
She make me lose control.
Explosion.
Bring sexy back, sexy Nina.
Time bomb.
She came with a friend called Sabrina.
Time bomb.
Don't stop, sister Nina.
Time bomb.
Baby, go low.
Explosion.
Go. I be your number one fan and I dig by do your show. The things where you did display makes me wanna spend my dough. When you take it fast, when you take it slow. Baby, you're the baddest and I hope you know. I know you're upcoming and I know you blow. Can't you see in the dark you glow? Make you no change cause I love you so. Can't nobody do me better, 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 better than you. Can't nobody love me better, 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 better than you. This one no be joke, oh.
That was music from the continent for your listening pleasure. And now the Saturday commentary by Dr. Suleiman Yang, Professor of African Studies and Comparative Politics at Howard University here in Washington, D.C. Here's Dr. Yang.
Hello, Africa. It's always a pleasure for me to examine the nature of the relationship between the United States and the continent of Africa. Every week, I devote a great deal of my time looking at the headlines with respect to how African newspapers, broadcasters, and others who are looking at the United States through African eyes look at the continent. And I'm also paying close attention to what my colleagues on this side of the Atlantic are saying about America's relations with Africa. This week, I pay greater attention to the issue of Africa and the United States, with particular emphasis on the summit. The summit is getting closer to us. The clock is ticking. I just want to emphasize a number of points with regard to the summit. First of all, I think it is very clear to us that there is great anxiety around the continent among many African states, from Angola Guinea, Ghana, Senegal, Somalia, all the way to Zimbabwe, if you go alphabetically. All these African states are concerned. Of course, some of them may not be represented because of political difficulties in their countries. But the ones that are going to be represented at the summit are already thinking about what must be done when they are here. There are two issues that beg for immediate attention, and that is, what is President Obama and his team going to do with regard to the summit? Of course, Power Africa is central in their narrative, and then AGOA's resurrection is another one, and people are also concerned about the youths. The president has met with the African youth, and there's much debate going on in the internet and in the African press with regard to the nature of the relationship between the president and the African youth. There are a lot of hopes, there are a lot of dreams from various parts of Africa among the young Africans who are here. There are people who raise the class factor in the narrative, who are saying that Africans from poor families or from villages who are not highly assimilated in the Western way may not be heard by the president and the American people. This is a bone of contention. But I think as part of the legacy of President Obama, it would make sense to build these structures along with the African leaders so that future generation of African youth will benefit the same way the beneficiaries of the Kennedy administration. When Kennedy started with the Peace Corps, certain Americans were linked to Africa. And then those American kids, of course, were privileged, were more likely to go than some Americans from Mississippi, from Idaho, or some other part of America. But gradually, many other Americans were inducted into the Peace Corps narrative. So maybe one of the legacies of Obama with regard to the youth is to build these structures governmentally, institutionally, and through relationship with the NGOs so that the post-Obama administration will begin to build on some of the structures constructed the way the Kennedys did in the 60s, the way Bill Clinton has done in recent times with regard to the Clinton Foundation. Maybe people who are working with the White House, with the young people, will begin to look critically into this matter and see to what extent the young people could be dealt with. Then the other issue that is going to be demanding attention is electricity. Stupid. We need to have electricity in Africa. You cannot have African development. With the Ebola phenomenon right now in Liberia, the disease alongside AIDS must be added to the agenda of U.S.-Africa relations. This is where there can be a trilateral relationship between the United Nations through the World Health Organization, the United States and Africa. So you have a triangle of resistance to the diseases. Ebola is a big disease, very dangerous. So now at the summit, it's going to come up willy-nilly. So the Liberians, the Sierra Leoneans, and the Mano River people should have an agenda with regard to how can we engage America with regard to disease. So the Center for Disease Control in America will have a new deal with Africa. And this goes hand in hand with industrialization. So the new agenda facing the government would be, how can America contribute to African industrial development? How can we mobilize the American farmers and the African farmers under the last days of Obama administration? And that's the message we have to deal with when we move towards the summit.
Thank you, Dr. Niang. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. From the rest of the Nightline team, we thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Odette Fraser. Have a good evening.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is deeply concerned by the convictions of human rights lawyer Tulani Maseko and magazine editor Beki Makubu for contempt of court in the Kingdom of Swaziland. Both men denied the charges, saying they were expressing opinions in the public interest and calling for the rule of law to be upheld. The men were detained in March after writing articles published in Mr. Makubu's magazine, The Nation, in which they raised concerns about judicial independence and integrity in Swaziland. Amnesty International reported that Makubu and Maseko were not arrested or tried in accordance with Swaziland's normal legal processes. Beki Makubu and Tulani Maseko have spent over 100 days in Sidwashini jail. Their convictions for contempt of court, for publishing an article critical of the High Court of Swaziland, and their ongoing detention, said U.S. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Marie Harf, appear to undermine respect for Swaziland's human rights obligations, particularly the right to freedom of expression. This right, she noted, is enshrined in Swaziland's own constitution and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. The United States strongly supports the universal fundamental freedom of expression and urges the Swazi government to uphold the rights of Tulani Maseko and Beki Makubu to speak and report freely.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.